It is one thing to be to desire to be a person of the Word and to value being a person of the Word who reads the Scriptures. It's another thing to be a person who actually reads the Scriptures and benefits by it. And as a desire to lead and teach by example, but also hopefully to encourage just in regular life, I'd like to read Scripture publicly, because sometimes the best thing to do is just to let the Word be heard in its context. Most Bible study that I do is involved around reading around the text. Reading so I can understand better and know what it's saying better to be able to share better with you. And so whether it's reading the chapter of a cross-reference or it might be, those are helpful things for me. But in general, just reading more of what God has said is important for Christians in our lives. Paul says to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4, he says, "Prescribe and teach these things," this is verse 11 and following, "let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example of those who believe. Until I come, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching." Now, we, as our conviction as a church, long before my time here, our conviction is to the preaching and teaching of God's Word, believing that it is God's Word that is the ultimate authority in all things pertaining to life and godliness. God's Word is true, it is pure, it is inspired, it is profitable for all kinds of things, all manner of things, and any good work. And so we have, as a church, prioritized that when it comes to the pulpit and the pastoral ministry here. And also now, one of the things I want to encourage us in continually is the reading of Scripture. Because we must be those who know the Word if we're to be people of the Word. And so I pray this is an exciting and encouraging Sunday school time for you as it is for me. I look forward to this every quarter, because I love reading and hearing the Word read aloud. So, let's open our Bibles to John chapter 12. I sent out an email this week on Friday with the planned reading for today, so as to give anyone fair warning. Maybe not, that's not the right one, I suppose. I suppose if people didn't know it was going to be reading, they could oversleep today and then not have to have the weight of wanting to volunteer or not for reading Scripture. But also, I suppose if you wanted to, it's a good time to be able to read ahead and prepare for the reading of the Scriptures. So as is always, what I'd like us to do is read together these chapters. I want to get through maybe chapter 17, but if we don't get that far, I'll make a call at the end so we have some time to talk about our reading. If you'd like to read a chapter, you can volunteer. I'll ask for each chapter, and you can come up here and read. But I encourage you to write down a note or two or a verse or make reference to something in your handouts there, just so you can either make a comment about it at the end of our Sunday school lesson or to go back and read and follow up on your own private time. So let's make use of this time, and may God bless the reading of His Word. So would you begin reading with me in John chapter 12? "Jesus, therefore, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they made him a supper there, and Martha was serving, but Lazarus was one of those reclining at the table with him. Mary then took a pound of very costly perfume of pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, who was intending to betray him, said, 'Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and given to poor people?' Now he said this not because he was concerned about the poor, but because he was a thief. And as he had money, and as he had the money box, he used to pilfer what was put into it. Therefore, Jesus said, "Let her alone, so she may keep it for the day of my burial. For you always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." The large crowd of the Jews then learned that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they also might see Lazarus, whom he raised from the dead. But the chief priests planned to put Lazarus to death also, because on account of him, many of the Jews were going away and were believing in Jesus. On the next day, the large crowd who had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took the branches of the palm trees and went out to meet him, and began to shout, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." Jesus, finding a young donkey, sat on it. As it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." These things the disciples did not understand at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written of him, and they had done these things to him. So the people who were with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to testify about him. For this reason, also the people went and met him, because they heard that he had performed this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, "You see that you are not doing any good. Look, the world has gone after him." Now there were some Greeks among those who were going up to worship at the feast. Then these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and began to ask him, saying, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip came and told Andrew, and Andrew and Philip came and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. He who loves his life loses it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it to life eternal. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now, my soul has become troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came out of heaven, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." So the crowd of people who stood by and heard it were saying that it had thundered. Others were saying, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered and said, "This voice has not come for my sake, but for your sakes. Now judgment is upon the world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself." But he was saying this to indicate the kind of death by which he was to die. The crowd then answered him, "We have heard out of the law that the Christ is to remain forever. And how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Jesus said to them, "For a little while longer, the light is among you. Walk while you have the light, so that the darkness will not overtake you. He who walks in the darkness does not know where he goes. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light." These things Jesus spoke, and he went away and hid himself from them. But though he had performed so many signs before them, yet they were not believing in him. This was to fulfill the word of Isaiah the prophet, which he spoke, "Lord, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" For this reason, they could not believe, for Isaiah said, again, "He has blinded the eyes, and he has hardened their heart, so they would not see with their eyes and perceive with their heart and be converted, and I heal them." These things Isaiah said because he saw his glory and he spoke of him. Nevertheless, many, even of the rulers, believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they were not confessing him for fear they would be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the approval of men rather than the approval of God. And Jesus cried out and said, "He who believes in me does not believe in me, but in him who sent me. He who sees me sees the one who sent me. I have come as light into the world, so that everyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness. If anyone hears my sayings and does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He rejects me, does not receive my sayings, has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him in the last day. For I did not speak on my own initiative, but the Father himself who sent me has given me a commandment as to what to say and what to speak. I know that his commandment is eternal life. Therefore, the things I speak just as the Father told me. Would anyone like to read chapter 13? Any volunteers? Stephanie.
Now, before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come and that he would depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, the devil, having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand and that he had come forth from God and was going back to God, got up from supper and laid aside his garments, and taking a towel, he girded himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. So he came to Simon Peter. He said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I do, you do not realize now, but you will understand hereafter." Peter said to him, "Never shall you wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, then wash not only my feet, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "He who has bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you." For he knew the one who was betraying him. For this reason, he said, "Not all of you are clean." So when he had washed their feet and taken his garments and reclined at the table again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, the Lord and teacher, washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example that you also should do as I did to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, nor is one who is sent greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. I do not speak of all of you. I know the ones I have chosen, but it is that the scriptures may be fulfilled. He who eats my bread has lifted up his heel against me. From now on, I am telling you before it comes to pass, so that when it does occur, you may believe that I am he. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me." When Jesus had said this, he became troubled in the spirit and testified and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you that one of you will betray me." The disciples began looking at one another at a loss to know of which one he was speaking. There was, reclining on Jesus' bosom, one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. So Simon Peter gestured to him and said to him, "Tell us who it is of whom he is speaking." He, leaning back thus on Jesus' bosom, said to him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus then answered, "That is the one for whom I shall dip the morsel and give it to him." So he had dipped. When he had dipped the morsel, he took and gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. After the morsel, Satan then entered into him. Therefore, Jesus said to him, "What you do, do quickly." Now, no one of those reclining at the table knew for what purpose he had said this to him. For some were supposing, because Judas had the money box, that Jesus was saying to him, "Buy the things that we have need of for the feast." Or else that he should give something to the poor. So, after receiving the morsel, he went out immediately, and it was night. Therefore, when he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him immediately. Little children, I am with you a little while longer. You will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered, where I go, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow me later. Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you right now? I will lay down my life for you. Jesus answered, will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, a rooster will not crow until you deny me three times.
Anyone else like to read chapter 14? Thank you, Barb.
Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him, but you know him. Because he abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. After a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, what then has happened that you are going to disclose yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. You heard that I said to you, I go away and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I go to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. Now I have told you before it happens, so that when it happens, you may believe. I will not speak much more with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But so that the world may know that I love the Father, I do exactly as the Father commanded me. Get up, let us go from here.
Barb, any other volunteers for chapter 15? Thank you.
I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you cannot do nothing. You can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. This is my commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends, if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit, that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give to you. This I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were in the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, because of this the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they would keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have sinned, but now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would not have sinned. But now they have both seen and hated me and my Father as well. But they have done this to fulfill the word that is written in the law. They hated me without a cause. When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me. And you will testify also, because you have been with me from the beginning.
Daniel. Anyone else? Chapter 16, Warren.
These things I have spoken to you, that you may be kept from stumbling. They will make you outcasts from the synagogue, but an hour is coming for everyone who kills you to think that he is offering service to God. These things they will do, because they have not known the Father or me. But these things I have spoken to you, so that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told you of them. These things I did not say to you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me. And none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. But I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And he, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. And concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you no longer see me. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of mine and will disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you. A little while, and you will no longer see me. And again a little while, and you will see me. Some of his disciples then said to one another, what is this thing he is telling us? A little while, and you will not see me. Again a little while, and you will see me. And because I go to the Father? So they were saying, what is this that he says, a little while? We do not know what he is talking about. Jesus knew they wished to question him, and he said to them, are you deliberating together about this, that I said, a little while, and you will not see me, and again a little while, and you will see me? Truly, truly, I say to you, that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will grieve, but your grief will be turned into joy. Whenever a woman is in labor, she has pain, because her hour has come. But when she gives birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish because of the joy that a child has been born into the world. Therefore, you too have grief now. But I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and no one will take your joy away from you. In that day, you will not question me about anything. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you ask the Father for anything in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, so that your joy may be made full. These things I have spoken to you in figurative language. An hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figurative language, but will tell you plainly of the Father. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will request of the Father on your behalf. For the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from the Father. I came forth from the Father and have gone into the world. I am leaving the world again and going to the Father. His disciples said, lo, now you are speaking plainly and are not using a figure of speech. Now we know that you know all things and have no need for anyone to question you. By this we believe that you came from God. Jesus answered them, do you now believe? Behold, an hour is coming and has already come for you to be scattered, each to his own, and to leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world.
Would anyone like to read the last chapter, chapter 17? Okay, I'll read that. Jesus spoke these things, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Even as you gave him authority over all flesh, that to all whom you have given him, he may give eternal life. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on the earth, having accomplished the work which you have given me to do. Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I have manifested your name to the men whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have come to know that everything you have given me is from you. But the words which you gave me, I have given to them, and they received them and truly understood that I came forth from you, and they believed that you sent me. I ask on their behalf. I did not ask on behalf of the world, but of those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all things that are mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. I am no longer in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world. And I come to you, Holy Father, keep them in your name, the name which you have given me, that they may be one even as we are. While I was with them, I was keeping them in your name, which you have given me, and I guarded them, and not one of them perished but the son of perdition, so that the scripture would be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, so they may have my joy made full in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have also sent them into the world. For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. The glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be perfect in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them, even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, although the world has not known you, yet I have known you, and these have known that you sent me, and I have made your name known to them, and will make it known, so the love with which you loved me may be in them and I in them. All right. Pray that this was a blessing to read through. We have a few minutes here. Any particular verse, context, or something that stuck out to you as a blessing this morning, or a question that you want to look into later? Anything? I can start with one. Just that last chapter 17. When Jesus said, verse 22, the glory which you have given me, I've given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one. The picture there of the glory, is that the glory of the unity? I don't know. I'm anxious to have some time to go look into that a little more. That's great. Barb.
I didn't write the verse down in chapter 12, but I wrote down the word judges. Just a reminder that if we want to know what's right and wrong,
yeah,
it's in His word.
Yeah. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Phil.
I didn't catch how many times before, and I'm going to do some research on that, but I noticed that it's many times that he says,
asking for things in his name.
And he said that multiple times. It's such a blessing.
Yeah.
Knowing that
he's faithful, and yeah. We ask in his name what that means, and the fact that he will give us what we ask in his name. Yeah, very good. Somebody else? Stephanie. Yeah, very good. Very good. And I had verse 5, since you're at verse 4. Verse 5, just the statement that Christ says, now glorify me with the glory that I had before the world was. You know, there's this, the picture of the incarnation, this time in the ministry was a necessary distinction in the way in which Jesus, that the Son, was glorified throughout all of eternity. And just the picture going back to eternity past was amazing there. Somebody else? Barb.
I have one question. In John 14:28, I know I questioned this before, but I probably didn't hear somebody say what it is, but my brain isn't remembering it. Well, where it ends with saying the Father is greater than I.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I would say it is very appropriate to have some confusion as to the particular inner workings of the triune God. There is no analogy to God in his Trinity and unity. There's no analogy. So to have a bit of a confusion as to that plus the incarnation and how that all builds into it, it is... Number one, it is absolutely appropriate to have some confusion. I haven't looked into this particular verse at length, but what I would say is when Jesus speaks about the Father being greater, it is just in the fact that he's praying to the Father, he's sent by the Father. It's his role is, as he's articulating, is always as one who's serving the Father. So not as a lesser serving a greater, but as a one who has a co-agreed upon, designed upon purpose that is subordinate to God, to the Father. Again, not in worth, not in power, not in majesty, but in economy. So that's how I would answer it, just very, very simply. So yes, it's not one to see that the Father is more God than the Son, or than the Spirit, or more powerful, or whatever. It's just this. It's the relational interactions through which God has seen fit to accomplish his purposes in the world. The same way that the Father sends the Son, and the Father and the Son send the Spirit. There's that kind of, again, economic. That might not be the right word, but interaction in the triune God. So. But yes, confusion and a little bit of uncertainty about the inner workings of the triune God is understandable. But the always to come back to is there is one being that is God, and all three persons share equally in all the divine attributes. So one person is not more or less God than the other. So, Stephanie.
Going back.
Yeah, no. Setting it, Paul speaks in Philippians how it's the kind of this voluntarily non-use of all that his got all that his rights and authority and ability as God allowed him to do, but for a time he set it that voluntary use of aside to then only do what was in the plan of God in the incarnation. And similar to what you said there, you know, about the it's advantageous that he goes away. Verse 7 to 16 of chapter 16, it is for your advantage that I go away. Why? Because then the helper can come. The reality that the son's departure is good for the disciples had to be one of those hard things that the disciples just couldn't grasp. Because the Spirit could be here. And that was the time and place for that. So much again there. What else? We have time for one, maybe two more this morning. Marianne. Yeah, 16:1 is to keep you from stumbling. 16:4, that when the hour comes, you may remember that I told you. Yeah, I believe 15 is that my joy may be in you to the full. He has a purpose in his teaching. He's not just pontificating for random reasons. So yeah, good, Marianne, that's great. And most of the best stuff comes from down the line that you learn from someone who learned and whatever. So that's good. Anyone, last one this morning? Lon. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit and that your fruit would remain so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you. Talking about the idea, the biblical doctrine of election. Yeah. That is one of the doctrines and the teaching scripture that I think is extremely hard and difficult to grasp, and I think, quite frankly, John's gospel does a magnificent job of setting it out clearly. But it is one of those things that whether you have a full orbed understanding, I think, a biblical understanding of it or not, reality is that in a biblical language, God knew and chose all who would be with him from before the foundations of the world. Explaining that biblically is sometimes harder to do than a big summary of that. But it is all throughout this section, but including John's gospel. So that's great, Lon. Well, I said that was the last one, and though I'm sorry, we'll do this again in 3 months. So let's pray as we close this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word. Lord, may we be sanctified in the truth. We know that your word is true, it is pure, it is a shield, it is, Lord, profitable for all things, and teaching, reproof, correction, training in righteousness. It's inspired of the Lord. Lord, help us to be people of the word, students of the word, that we might better know and understand your works, that we might better know and understand you. Thank you in Christ's name. Amen.